Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to STM Live. What is this? What are we doing? Is this am I selling something? It's like an infomercial. I got a plastic. No, I'm just joking. I did realize though last week somebody asked, what is this? What are we doing here in the comments? So this is STM Live. This is our weekly live Q&A with one or more members of the STM crew, hosted by me, Aaron Deese. That's what we're doing. So welcome back, everybody. Great to see Mark Alexander in the audience. Nick is back tonight. Nick's been hanging out with us for a couple weeks. Good to see Vincent, Julie, Victoria. Welcome back, guys. Good to see all of you. We got a great guest tonight. Interesting fellow. You may have heard of him. Michael is here. Squad member Michael, as well as Scott. Good to see you, Scott. And Smedley Do-Right, who might win the best screen name award tonight. I usually give it to Mr. Dollar Store Gloves. Anyway, though, a couple announcements. Fun stuff, guys. Biggest thing that's happening right now, Monster Fest, June 29th. Actually starts on the 28th with the screening of Cursed Waters, Creature of Lake Okanagan at the Canton Palace Theater, and then continues on to June 29th on Saturday. We're going to have vendors, food trucks, workshops, one of which I'm co-leading, so please come and hang out with us for that. Heather Mosier will be hanging out with me for that session. A ton of fun stuff going on. You can get your tickets at stmmonsterfest.com, and there are still a few VIP passes available. Not very many. So definitely check that out. One of the things you'll be able to pick up at Monster Fest is Hunting Grounds, Dogmen of the Lakes, which is a book I just finished writing. And pre-orders for that book start on April the 9th. So that's kind of neat. I'm sort of excited about that. Even sooner than that, though, folks, American Werewolves 2 will finally be available on VOD on April the 6th. I know you're all very excited about this. I'm very excited about it. If you haven't had a chance to see this one yet, stream it on the 6th. Definitely do that. Maybe tell a friend. Always helps when you tell a friend. Couple more quick things. House of Monsters is now available on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you to everybody who sent in a little positive feedback so far. It's very much appreciated. Glad to hear that folks are enjoying it. Go check that out. And last but not least, there's a new episode of Strange Places from our good friend Alexander Petikov, available on YouTube. If you are a squad member, it is available right now in ad-free 4K, and it will be available worldwide on Sunday. So, thank you for listening to me rattle off that list of things. I hope I didn't forget anything important, but if I did, we'll figure it out next week. Please, without further ado, welcome the man himself, the guy who brings us all together, the reason we're all here, the head maestro, Mr. Seth Breedlove. Hey, buddy.
Hi. Hello. Could we go back to our Red Dead Redemption 2 discussion?
Yeah. We were talking earlier, folks. Maybe you guys can chime in on this about how difficult it is to steer the horses in Red Dead Redemption 2, which we didn't get this far in the conversation. But that was kind of the reason I quit playing 2. I kept running into things and
it's stressful. It's too stressful.
I ended up playing Skyrim for the umpteenth time that year, I think.
I've watched Skyrim. I have not played it.
I finally reached a point after 18 years or however long it's been where I don't want to replay it anymore, but a lot of fond memories. So Lisa's here. Lisa made our custom stainless steel tumblers that we gave away during the Kickstarter live stream.
What's up, Lisa?
As always, please drop your questions and comments in the chat. If you don't, this will be a really, really short show. But tonight we're talking UFOs. We've been on Bigfoot for a couple weeks. We're getting back to UFOs tonight. So this is the second to last installment of On the Trail of UFOs that will be on YouTube. Am I right about that?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
We've got this installment of On the Trail of UFOs. I think we have one more coming.
No, this is the final of season one. This is the finale of season one. And then, but I mean, it's confusing because the series went from episodic to films. So you also have Dark Sky and then Night Visitors, which were supposed to be continuations of what we did with season one. So this is definitely the finale of season one, but there's more On the Trail of UFOs coming. We'll release Dark Sky, honestly, will probably come out relatively soon on the YouTube channel, and Night Visitors will probably follow not too long after. And then we'll begin filming season two sometime this fall.
Very exciting. Yeah, I think I had it in my head that there was one more episodic installment, but yeah, that's not the case. No, but so this series was made a couple of years ago. And a lot has happened in the UFO world since then. I think we talked about this a little bit, you know, last time you were on, but what of all the UFO news over the last few years, you know, whether it's super recent or a while ago, what is something you think has been really impactful as far as contributing to this conversation?
With this series specifically, or like with the subject in general?
Anything, either one.
I mean, impactful in the UFO world, honestly, dude. I mean, my views on the UFO world are kind of present in on the trail of UFO season one. We talked about this last time, but I'm interested in eyewitness accounts. I'm not necessarily super invested in politicking when it comes to UFOs, and I get the importance of that with a lot of people and the disclosure movement and how some people view that as the future. And I totally get it. That isn't my particular interest. My interest is in talking to witnesses and getting witness stories and, you know, trying to piece things together through that. So it's definitely not the politicking of UFOs. To be honest with you, there's nothing that I can point to that has happened in the UFO world in the last four years, it's basically 4 years, coming up on 5 years since we shot this, that has really caught my attention. I'm very interested in the subject, and I like to follow along, but it just seems like the community itself is so fractured and volatile most of the time. I try to just follow along as an interested third party, and that's it. So within the mainstream, there isn't much that happened. I don't know that this series had a huge impact on the UFO community. It had a huge impact on me because it showed me that we could branch outside of just the standard cryptozoological documentaries we had been making and focus on a topic maybe outside of what our core audience expected from us, and still find a large community of people that were interested in what we were doing. Because I've said this before, but On the Trail of UFOs is the most viewed thing we've ever made. That was a huge impact on me, but I don't know if I'm answering the question properly, but my
goal is just to get you talking. So
yeah, those are the I mean, what's funny about making stuff like this is when I do it, especially if it's a subject that is like this, where I'm not as well versed in this as I am in something like Bigfoot. Making a series like On the Trail of UFOs helps me to formulate my own opinions and thoughts on the subject in general. Which On the Trail of UFOs is not personal for me from my perspective. It's not On the Trail of Bigfoot, which is very much from my perspective. On the Trail of UFOs is kind of Shannon and her perspective on things. But despite that fact, while making it, it became extremely personal just because of the fact that, it helped me figure out, you know, my own approach to the UFO topic in general. And again, I don't want to just rehash a bunch of stuff we talked about last time, but one thing I know that is important to me is that we don't lose sight of the fact that there are real people who encounter these things, who experience very, very unusual, very odd things, who might not be, you know, military vets or senators or whatever. And those people are at the core of the UFO subject. So I get the fact that there is a great importance to the politicking of UFOs, but it's not what draws me in, and it's not something that interests me. And also, just like while filming the series, my son was, what was he? When did we shoot this? Is it 2019 or 2020 when we shot
this? When did this happen?
I think it's 2019 when we shot this. So we're coming up on 5 years, I think, since we shot this. I might be exaggerating.
That sounds right based on when I watched it, because the Storm Area 51 thing was going on.
Is that 2019? Okay, then that would be it. So yeah, Tommy was like 2 years old, a little over 2 years old when we were shooting this. And I had a very fun road trip experience with Adrian and Shannon Legros and a very, very young Tommy across the southern United States while we were shooting it.
Oh, Tommy was along for this one?
Oh yeah. He was along.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like this movie. This series was shot over an extremely prolonged period of time. You know, we're talking like seven, eight months across multiple states, probably 30 states. You know, I think there's close to 27 interviews, 28 interviews, somewhere in that range. And Tommy was along for a little part of the shoot that included the Brown Mountain Lights episode. You know, where Shannon and I got to go to Brown Mountain with Micah Hanks. And so, which is funny because full circle kind of thing, Tommy and Micah hung out in my kitchen, in this very kitchen of this house with you, just a few weeks ago, basically.
Not a month ago.
Yeah. And yeah. Tommy was a little older, but yeah, the series, I mean, everything we do at STM ends up, you know, getting lodged in my memory somehow, and it all revolves around, you know, the people that are at the heart of STM, and those people for me are the people that are in the films and the projects, and then the crew. So people like yourself and Micah and Tommy.
That was such a cool moment. I remember being exhausted because we've been shooting all day. We just come from dinner, and I was just like, I'm in Seth's kitchen and Micah Hanks is here. This is cool. we do have a couple of fun questions from the audience. Couple short answer ones, probably. Our friend Julie Bug asks, when can we see an interview with Shannon? I'm trying. Shannon is very, very busy. I don't know if you guys have looked recently, but she's up to 7,000 episodes of Into the Fray. So she's very busy. But hopefully soon, folks.
We'll get her on. I'll force her to do it.
I ask her every couple of days, not literally. Smedley Do Right asks, aren't horses hard to steer in real life too?
Not so hard that you run over the sheriff and then ruin your life because the entire community is hunting you down.
I am scared of them, so I don't know. Nothing that big should be that fast. That's something I believe. Feel very strongly about that. Tom Talker 2000 asks, and I'm not sure when this question was asked, what we were talking about exactly. I believe it was when you were talking about the human experience, of course. But I was wondering why this question wasn't discussed during the Barney and Betty Hill segment of the documentary, to me, the most credible piece of Betty and Barney's abduction case. So we are going to be talking more about Barney and Betty in future projects. I don't know if you want to talk about that or you want to just talk about the case.
Yeah. What I'm confused by the question. I was wondering why this question wasn't discussed during the Betty. What question?
I think that came up when we were talking about the human experience of these things, I think. And then Tom Talker provides some, you know, additional. That was comment one. My bad. The thing that didn't come up is the star map she drew showing is the star map she drew showing exactly where these beings were from. And it wasn't until years later that scientists actually verified that there was a star system and a planet that quite literally aligned exactly as she laid out in her map. Even beyond the terrifying hypnosis sessions, I think this is 100% proof positive that the story and experiences really do happen.
The star map was 100% mentioned at the very least. I don't think we went in depth on it. The problem with the star map too is that there was a map that existed on a wall in an office where Betty worked. that also showed the same map, which slightly calls the star map into question. So if we really want to get into the weeds of the skepticism of that case, we can. But that's the issue I have with the star map. I also don't think it's like a no-brainer or a cut and dried case that 100% proves that something happened with Betty and Barney Hill. I do personally think something happened with them. I just don't know what it was. But yeah, as far as like why we didn't get into it, well, we got a 32-minute episode or whatever it is, and there's only so much you can cover in those episodes. Now, if we went back, the thing that I would love to do, and there's enough content we could have done this, and I hope at some point we actually can do this. I would love to get someone to help me re-edit these episodes into like director's cuts, because we have content that can cover an hour long, hour plus long per episode. Because what we're doing, what people are seeing right now, is two episodes put together for YouTube. When they were initially released, they're typically, you know, like 30 minutes, maybe. I think the average one runtime was probably like 28 to 32 minutes, somewhere in that range. I would kill to have hour long, like director's cuts of each episode.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it's something I would love to do, because we have the content. But I can tell you I'm in the middle of editing Dogman territory, which I don't know if you watched the cut I sent you today, Aaron.
I've seen parts of it. I feel like I've been watching that movie on repeat for a week. Yeah. And it's been great.
It gets exhausting. Yeah.
I did watch some of it today.
the editing style that I use with Dogman Territory is really similar to On the Trail of UFOs. And I've been editing Dogman Territory for about 8 weeks. I edited all of On the Trail of UFOs season one. That is all 8 episodes. I edited that entire thing in 8 weeks. So that's 1 week per episode with that insane quick cut editing style. I literally at one point lived in my office. So I was there in my office 14 to 16 hours a day editing the episodes. So the editing style itself really drags out the editing process. And that's why the episodes weren't long. That's one of the main reasons the episodes weren't longer. It's also the fact, that I created 60% of the special effects myself. And I'm not an effects guy. I'm not a computer guy. I'm not a like computer effects guy. Santino did some of the shots in this, and then there's a lot of stock UFO stuff, but the series was an absolute bear to put together. And so to stretch that out for an hour per episode, we would have been working on it. I would have melted down. It would have been a year long editing process to get, because you have to think, I approached every episode with the same care that I would a film. Mm-hmm. And there's 8 episodes. And so each, even when shrunk down to, you know, like we did where we condensed it to 2 episodes per release on YouTube, that still comes out to 4 episodes. And so that would be, those 4 episodes were about the average runtime of a Small Town Monsters movie back in 2020. When this came out. And so we basically released 4 movies that I had edited, or 8 movies that I had edited, in an extremely condensed span of time. So to go back and actually edit it, first of all, I don't have a desire to go back into this and do that, but I also just don't have the time. So if we get to the point where I can, though, I 100% will have someone help me re-edit these into, you know, feature length episodes, so we can re-release maybe director's cuts or something. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it's a dream of mine.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Tom also says that he hopes that we do cover some more Barney and Betty Hill in the future. So without spoiling too much, okay, sure. We can do that.
You can spoil it.
Okay. UFOs Revisited is coming soon. And we did have a very in-depth discussion on Barney and Betty Hill and the topic of abductions in general. So,
I mean, have we talked about, have we really talked about UFOs Revisited on anything?
A little bit. We've kind of mentioned it here and there, like we did just now. But that's it really.
Yeah, we did. So we did a show, and it's honestly, episodes are probably going to start dropping in the next 2 months. It's how do you want to, do you want to, you did this show, you talk about it.
it's a documentary roundtable, I think would be a good way to put it. We assembled an elite core group of UFO researchers, experts, people who are very knowledgeable on the subject and just knowledgeable in general. And we filmed 16 episodes in 3 days. And those are in the process of being edited right now. Each episode focuses on a specific case and also kind of the overarching topics connected to that case. And we had a script, not a script. We had notes going in, but the way the conversations went, it's not something I think I could have written. It happened very organically, and it's going to be very, very interesting, I think. And some of the people we've mentioned tonight will appear on that panel. So
mm-hmm. I think that's it's
apt summary.
It's for me, because I didn't direct it. For me, coming at it from the outside, it was a really exciting project to be a part of. To watch Aaron and Heather and Courtney put it all together was kind of exciting. It's one of those things where, like, with STM was so insular for the first like 3 years, you know, in 2018 when On the Trail of Champ came out, that was the first thing where, you know, Alexander Petikov came in and made this other project that I produced, and I was involved in putting it together, and I watched all the episodes, and I gave notes on edits and things like that. To me, it's fun to watch is not even the right descriptor. It's incredibly rewarding to watch other people come into Small Town Monsters and kind of create stuff within the ecosystem we're trying to create here. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is create a place where people like Aaron and Alex and Eli and Heather and Courtney and everyone here can thrive and come up with creative, you know, projects that strengthen their storytelling abilities and give them a way to flex their creative muscles and all those kinds of things. And to watch something like UFOs Revisited come together was really exciting, because I had very little involvement in it, but it came together so smoothly, and it was such an in-depth project. You know, and it's almost the opposite of On the Trail of UFOs, because On the Trail of UFOs was very, it's in the field, we're flying from like multiple location to location, we're around the country, we're literally coast to coast. We filmed in Hollywood, and we also filmed in the White Mountains and on Hampshire Beach in New Hampshire. Like, you can't get more coast to coast. and so to be involved in both projects in the way I was, where on one I was steering the ship, and on the other, you know, I just got to watch you guys be a part of, run the show. You know, it's very exciting. Also, I want to point out that Ryan Sprague is in the comments, and
is said, Mr. Sprague here?
Said something super nice. Can I pull?
Is there, there he
yeah,
is?
Yeah, there yeah. it is. Yeah. So. Ryan, that trip too, that was part of the East Coast trip, which technically aligns with that trip that Tommy was on when we did the Brown Mountain Lights. That's the longest shoot I've ever done. It was something like 11 days. It that's not the longest shoot, actually, now that I say that, because I remember Alaska, which is 17 days, so that overtook it. But the East Coast trip was crazy because it started in Florida and ended in New Hampshire. But somewhere in there, we went to New York City and literally walked around Times Square with Ryan and kind of interviewed him right there, you know, in the heart of the city, about the UFO subject. And honestly, he said it's still my favorite project to have been involved with. It's not my favorite project that we've made. It might be that East Coast shoot one. It might be my favorite shoot. Yeah. I did get sass from the pizza shop owner in New York City too. Zach got the sass as well, but Zach loved it because she was a feisty Italian lady, and Zach is a feisty Italian man. So he thought that was the greatest night of his life. She was just berating us while we tried to order. Yeah.
What, you want a pizza in here? Get out of here.
And I've never, that is my one experience with New York City. I'd never been to the city before then. And I haven't got to go back since. So
I was there once for 6 hours. I rode the subway. I went to the Nintendo store, and that's about all you can do in six
hours. That's the biggest thing. You know, yeah. Knock that out. So
yeah.
But that was a good shoot. And see, you know, the coolest thing about that was seeing Shannon and Ryan together, because Shannon and Ryan, you know, in my mind, I don't think this is the case, but in my mind, they're always kind of connected. Their origin story in my mind is always connected because of Into the Fray and Somewhere in the Skies and their interactions with each other through Into the Fray and all that stuff. So they're seeing them together, filming them together. That was special for me in a weird way, like a weird sort of way where I'm just standing off to the side with the camera filming them.
Kind of one of those full circle moments.
Yeah.
Ryan says Shannon is my birthday twin. So if they have the same birthday, maybe they're from the same spaceship. I had something there.
Yeah. Maybe
it got away.
Ryan, hit me up. We got stuff to do.
Yeah. Always got stuff to do. Very cool. See, that's what I like. I like these little historical behind the scenes tidbits. I can't ever figure out how to ask questions to get these.
Well, I mean, the tourist in me, I've seen a lot in my time around the world. You know, I've been to Switzerland and Jerusalem, and I've been coast to coast in the US, and there's few things as daunting as seeing Manhattan at a distance. You know, coming in from like an hour away and seeing that city in the distance. So there's a few things as daunting as that. So one of the strangest things is to get into this massive city with millions of people and find this weird sort of insular little bubble that we created with the Small Town Monsters crew and Ryan, where it was. And at that point we had basically forced Ryan into the Small Town Monsters camp.
It was get in here.
Yeah. And it was funny because we're in Times Square. It was me, Ryan, Shannon, Adam Dugan, Zach, Jason, and not yet Alex, but the six of us. And we're in, you know, one of the biggest cities in the world. And it couldn't have felt more personal to me, like just hanging out with six friends in this crazy city. I had a camera in my hand though, and when you put a camera in my hand, I'm good with anything. But I grew up in Bolivar, Ohio. Like I'm from the sticks, and so cities are not my bag. I don't feel welcome in them, and I don't feel like I know my way around them. But that was my experience in Times Square, was spending time with the gang and having this really fun night, you know, this really personal night where we got to hang out and talk about UFOs and eat pizza and get yelled at by a fiery Italian lady.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real cool. Yeah. New York is overwhelming, even if you're used to cities. So I've lived in three of the biggest cities in Texas. And when we went to New York, I was like, this is different.
Yeah.
this is a different thing. But fun question from BH. This is a cool one. Seth, what is your favorite UFO case of all time? Which one has the most evidence backing it up, do you think?
It's a toss up between Cash Landrum, the Cash Landrum UFO case, and the Portage County UFO chase here in Ohio. The Portage County chase is one that I was aware of from a younger age. I was aware of it earlier on. Cash Landrum came to me later, but I remember watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries that revolved around the Cash Landrum incident. I think it's Unsolved Mysteries. Someone might correct me, but pretty sure it was Unsolved Mysteries. And I think I remember watching that at my grandma's house. So at some point I was aware of that, but I wasn't reminded of it until later. But it's a toss up between those two. There's another one from here in Ohio that I love out near Ashland. And for some reason, the name that they ascribe to it is escaping me, but it involves a helicopter and a green UFO basically engaging in a dogfight. It's one of my favorites because I was at a MUFON conference in Belleville, Ohio, and right near where this happened. And it just so happened that in attendance were people who had witnessed this UFO dogfight from the ground. And one of them was actually the fire chief. He's currently the fire chief of whatever, that's like Ashland area of Ohio. He was at a party with a bunch of buddies, and they all witnessed this helicopter fly over being chased by a UFO. And so that case has really grabbed my imagination. So I'm hoping I can do something about that at some point, and hopefully I remember the name. I'm getting old, 42. Also, I'm neck deep in editing Dogman territory.
You mentioned it during a meeting the other day. It's in my notes.
So yeah,
we got you. No worries. I the one that I, as far as like evidence, I'm a big Cash Landrum fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I just find that case very convincing. But my mm-hmm. present favorite that I'm pretty sure didn't happen is Project Serpo, because it's just so much fun. So
yeah,
you know, look that one up, folks. If you
watch UFOs Revisited.
You could also watch UFOs Revisited. Yeah, mm-hmm. I may have forced everybody to do an entire episode about it. Clarifying on the case you just mentioned, though, Seth, our friend J.E. Roberts, did you say Ashland, Ohio?
Ashland, Ohio, yeah. Near Mansfield is involved, too. The helicopter, if I remember right, was flying from Cleveland to Ashland or Mansfield. It's one or the other. It might be Mansfield. But what's interesting is they were right over the... Oh, gosh, dude. I'm getting so old. There's this famous case here in Ohio from the 50s of this, like, frog-like creature. Now I cannot remember the name of the lake.
Oh, the Loveland frog?
No, not that. No? This is a different case.
Oh, you're right. No, yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
it was just like a big frog, not a...
Yeah, it was kind of like a big... Yeah, it was like very similar to like Creature from the Black Lagoon. Happened in the 50s. Anyway, this UFO dogfight started over that lake, and this is going to drive me crazy because I can't remember the name of the lake right now, but I can't remember anything. So, but yes, Ashland, Ohio. I live in Massillon, Ohio. I grew up in Bolivar, Ohio, and I lived formerly, and Small Town Monsters was formerly based in Wadsworth, Ohio. So a lot of Ohio here.
In Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Yes. Yeah, so Ashland, that's a yes on that. For sure. Michael Tovar has an interesting question. Seth, do you find it harder to interview people about the UFO topic compared to Bigfoot in your interviews?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yes. Yeah. Especially if we're talking expert interviews. Witness interviews are always kind of basic for me. Like you're asking set questions about like what did they experience, and then you can build your sub questions off those. With the expert stuff, you kind of have to know something about the topic, and so you have to do a lot more research. And I just don't I don't know as much about UFOs. I like to learn and I like to follow it, but you know, I was more into Bigfoot early on than I was UFOs. So it's always harder conducting UFO interviews, especially because here's an interesting thing that just hit me, that the witness interviews when it comes to UFOs tend to be more emotional. I don't know why that is, but the UFO witnesses I've interviewed, and I'm talking witnesses, they have a more, it's just a more emotional reaction to their encounter than some of the Bigfoot or any cryptid, you know, interviews I've conducted. You know, you talk to people who've encountered, there's a friend of mine, Dan Weiss, who we interviewed in episode one of On the Trail of UFOs. And he recalls that incident. He had an encounter over Barberton, Ohio. And when he recalls that incident, there is an emotion in him that I can't quite describe. And I've known Dan for years. But it isn't like what, you know, it's just very different from interviewing a cryptid witness. So it's definitely a different ball game interviewing UFO witnesses or UFO people in general.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Michael always has good questions for us. Michael also says, I have to shout this one out. Dogman has been my favorite topic lately since watching the Dogman Triangle. So
cool. Let's check out Dogman Territory, hopefully coming in May.
It's another film. Like, what can I say about it that doesn't ruin anything? It's another film about Dogman. Here's a fun question. Our friend Harvest Mary Moon asks, are you going to revisit the Mothman?
I'm not, but that doesn't mean Small Town Monsters isn't. So I'll leave it at that, but I would expect more Mothman in 2023. What year is this?
2027.
Yeah. There's more Mothman coming this year. You'll see more of Mothman in the episodic stuff. As far as movies, I think I've done my due diligence when it comes to telling the Mothman story. I made three movies basically about Mothman. Four movies. You know, the Mothman trilogy, I consider it, is the Mothman in Point Pleasant, Terror in the Skies, and the Mothman Legacy. Those are the three movies that really delve into the Mothman topic. We also made On the Trail of the Lake Michigan Mothman. So we've done four Mothman films. I just don't know that I have too much more to say about it, but we've definitely hit it.
I didn't know there was more. That wasn't a setup question. I didn't know there was plans for more Mothman stuff. So
yeah,
short answer, Mary, is yes. Yes. I think this is going back to the frog thing we were talking about a few minutes ago. BH says, do you mean Lake Thetis or Thetis
that's,
Lake?
That's not it. Not the one. No, it's a real basic. It's out near Ashland, Ashland Mansfield area near Belleville, Ohio. This is going to drive me nuts, dude. You have no idea. It's driving me crazy because we drive by it every time we're going from Maslin. Like when we have to head west, we drive right by the lake, but I can't think of it right now.
You're going to think of it as soon as the stream ends.
Yeah.
Last time I had Alex on, he couldn't think of something and he texted me 2 days later.
Yeah. Well, I'm legitimately, this isn't just an excuse, but I'm really like, where I'm in the throes of editing a movie. And the way my brain functions is when I'm editing a movie and we're getting close to a deadline, it's all I think about. I think about that movie, and that is kind of like all I'm. So I'm fixated on Dogman Territory right now. And I'm not allowed to think about other things.
You've actually been editing this whole time.
Yeah.
This whole screen's in the background. Excuse me. I should just go in order here instead of cherry picking, because whenever I cherry pick, I forget.
I'm going to try to figure out what this lake is called before it drives me insane.
I really want to know. I guess I could click over to this other tab and Google it, but you're doing that now. So
yeah. Charles Mill Lake.
Charles Mill.
That was easy. It's right north of, just north of Belleville, Ohio. The reason I'm so fixated on Belleville is because my son, my six-year-old, he's about to turn seven, is obsessed with a place called Splash Harbor that we go to in Belleville, Ohio. Mm. Charles Mill Lake, in the 50s, there was a cryptid called the Charles Mill Lake Monster. And the UFO helicopter dogfight, which I also am blanking on, that took place right over Charles Mill Lake.
Interesting. I didn't realize Ohio was so weird.
Yeah.
Until very recently. You know, you hear these anecdotes and stuff and then realize all these cases are concentrated in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Tovar asks, does STM have plans for director's commentary for each of their own shows done? I like that idea.
I wouldn't be averse to it. I always enjoy doing it. We've done commentaries for the first three movies. I know we did a commentary for Boggy. We might have done one for Mothman. I remember doing one for Momo. I don't know what else, but I've never done one for one of the episodic shows. It'd be interesting to go through like Mountain State Monsters or especially the Bigfoot Project, because Bigfoot Project was extremely personal and it was a very odd point in my life where I was talking to someone the other day, because we had to shoot recreations for Dogman Territory out there. I was talking to one of my
that's where you were for those?
Yeah. We're out there shooting, and I was like, dude, I used to sleep out here probably 2-3 nights a week. Like, I slept in my car, I slept in the cabin, or like I was doing something out there every week during 2022. There's just so much that happened during that year out there, that it's odd to go back out there. I'd love to do a commentary on Bigfoot Project sometime, because I could also, there's a lot of things that didn't make it into the Bigfoot Project that it would be fun to kind of, you know, tell the backstory on during a commentary. But yeah, I'd love to do it. I just don't know when I'll have time.
Right. That's you have to sit down and actually go back and watch the whole thing again in order to do that. That's the hard part. Cool idea. I'm here for it. Well, speaking of this, I think I know the answer to this question. Thanks, Seth. What cryptid do you think has the best chance of being proven real? Our friend BH asks.
Oh, man. Whew. Bigfoot, I guess. I just don't know what cryptids are real. I love the concept of cryptids, but the only one I know personally is real is Bigfoot, because I've seen it. So I guess that's the one that I hope is proven real first. Bigfoot, maybe. We'll see.
I think it's possible we could prove that a biological dog man exists due to canine crossbreeding and different traits being dominant in different different litters.
Wait, so you're still on the flesh and blood
dog? I'm still on the more than one thing train. It's the more research I do, the more it's like there's really weird supernatural ones, which there seem to be a lot of in the Land Between the Lakes, and then there's really just mundane animal ones, which we seem to have a lot of in Texas. So I don't know, maybe after book three I'll be like, they're goblins or something. I don't know, but no, there are cases of canines developing bipedal locomotion in the wild, which is not quite a werewolf. So great question, BH. Let's see. Nick asks, what about the Men in Black stuff? Have we dived into that yet? I believe we talk about some Men in Black in On the Trail of UFOs in the third or fourth episode. I don't remember which. It's in there.
Definitely. Yeah, it's in there. Honestly, the most Men in Black stuff I remember getting into was Mothman of Point Pleasant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, we talked about, I'll tell you where you're going to get Men in Black is UFOs Revisited, coming sometime in the next couple months. There's an entire episode devoted to Men in Black.
It's I'm excited by the fact that our audience is asking questions about things that are already on the way. That's cool. Yeah. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good. Thanks for the question, Nick. This one has come up a couple times before, but I do like to give Seth a chance to answer it. Seth, why do you think there's this UFO Bigfoot connection? Do you think Bigfoot is an ET creation, or that maybe ETs are just studying Bigfoot? That's an interesting one.
Yeah. I personally don't think there is a UFO Bigfoot connection. You know, there's definitely accounts of upright hairy creatures in connection with UFOs, but they're few and far between. And so me personally, I don't connect the two. You know, I always go back to, I've talked about this on the show before, but I always go back to what Don Keating told me. Don is like this kind of the godfather of Ohio Bigfoot research, and he'd been doing it for decades. And I asked him, he took hundreds of reports of Bigfoot sightings. And I asked him, of all the sightings you've taken, sighting reports you've taken, how many involved some sort of paranormal connection, you know, a UFO, light in the sky, light in the woods, whatever. And he told me none. And that's hundreds of reports. So me personally, I've talked to numerous researchers who tell me the same thing. Now, you also can talk to guys like Ron and Joe from Wild and Weird West Virginia, and they get reports like that fairly frequently. So I don't think there is a connection with what we call Bigfoot. That isn't to say there isn't something, you know, that's also tall and running around the woods, tall and scary, that might be connected with Bigfoot, but I don't personally think there is a connection between UFOs and Bigfoot.
I do find that concept really interesting. Like, let's assume extraterrestrials are observing and studying human beings. It makes sense they would be studying other organisms on our planet. They probably have detection equipment that's better than what we have. So I like that idea very much. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I'm also not, you know, ignoring the stories about, especially from like the Chestnut Ridge, about hairy humanoids and UFOs. I just don't think we're talking about Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. So there are some cases where we're talking about Bigfoot, like in air quotes, you know, mm-hmm. creatures, but not necessarily what we're talking about, you know,
sure. Yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of something that behaves like an unclassified hominid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wink in the comments says Seth confirmed they're Wookiees. So
100%. Yeah.
Here for that. Yeah. I guess that's it. We can stop making documentaries now. No, please. Lisa Thorpe asks, what's your opinion on the spotted lines in the sky being UFOs? So a lot of the pictures we're seeing now that are UFOs, that are these long strings of lights, are Starlink satellites, which are the, you know, internet satellites that SpaceX is throwing up there. But there are reports like that from before Starlink satellites. That's all I have. What do you have, Seth?
Yeah, if that's what we're talking about, that's 100% Starlink. They're typically able to connect that to Starlink launches, if that's what we're talking about. Unless I'm missing something. Maybe it's the thing from Nope, flying around the sky.
That's such a good movie.
That's like, a great movie.
It flips the UFO concept in such an interesting and scary way. It's kind of mm-hmm. hard to make UFOs scary nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love that movie, and it's the only Jordan Peele movie I've seen so far, but I love that movie. It's very Spielberg to me. It's very like Jaws. But it appeals to a lot of what I love.
Very. Yeah. Really good movie. Highly recommend to our UFO fans out there. Starlink is also the name of a video game where you could hook up real-life plastic toys to your controller, and they would appear on screen. So
great.
I think it's, yeah, people should know about that. It's been out of production for years. Mark Jaycock says, how about time travel? Want some live proof of that? Yes, absolutely. If you have proof of time travel, you can send an email to Aaron at smalltownmonsters.com. If you can send an email to Aaron at smalltownmonsters.com for any reason, really. Maybe not any reason. But yeah, we could talk more about time travel. That'd be fun. That would be fun. So I've got one last question for you on my list, Seth. I'm not seeing anything else from the audience, but I think this is really important. Hypothetical scenario. You can pick three people, your dream UFO investigation team, living or dead. I'll even say fictional, non-fictional, if we want to go that far. Three people. You can investigate any UFO case, and you can even be there on the ground as it's happening. Where are you going? Who are you taking with you?
Oh, Aaron Deese. You sent me this question and for some reason I completely failed to put together a list. So I'll say Aaron Deese, Dan Aykroyd, and Micah Hanks.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
We're going.
What case are we investigating?
I don't know. Does it matter at that point?
No.
We're probably not finding anything out, but we'll have a good time.
I don't think we'd need to. No. I'll just get Micah and Dan Aykroyd talking and I'll kick back and, you know, just chill.
No, I mean, I'm not. I make no, you know, I have no illusions to being some sort of like UFO investigator. I mean, I don't think I'm a Bigfoot investigator. I don't think I'm any kind of investigator. I'm just a filmmaker. But the fact is I'm interested in witness stories, and that's what it comes down to. I have my own opinions on UFOs and what the UFO, you know, subject means and what, you know, the way it's impacting our society and things like that. But I at the end of the day, I just want to hear from witnesses what they actually experienced and then, you know, make my decisions based on that. As you know, like all of these subjects, there's so many people, so many talking heads that are involved in it who kind of have an agenda they're pushing. You can't come at this honestly based on what talking heads are saying. That's what I've learned. So the best way to form some sort of opinion of your own is to talk to really good witnesses, talk to the witnesses themselves.
I like that. I would like to witness the this is not nearly as profound as what you said. I would really like to witness the Aurora, Texas UFO crash.
Oh gosh. I mean, that's top five UFO cases for me. I just love that time period having a UFO. Like that whole thing is always, I mean, more so than Roswell. Like mm-hmm. Aurora appealed to me on a different level. I love the airship waves of the early 1900s too. That's like that stuff. I don't know what it is about that specifically that really appeals to me, more so than the really well-known talked about, the UFO cases that really get discussed frequently. You know, everyone's really into the politicking within UFOs right now, but give me airships and Aurora any day over that stuff.
Well, that's such an interesting case because that was basically, for all intents and purposes, it was the Wild West. I mean, Aurora basically still is. So I could get in trouble for that. It's fine. But, you know, it's like that movie Aliens and Cowboys. It sounds so bizarre when you put them in the same room together, but you're like, oh, well, what if aliens did show up at this time? Like, it's such a bizarre, bizarre case. Well, folks, that brings us pretty much to the end of our chat tonight. I couldn't think of a word. I couldn't think of the word show. That brings us to the end of our show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your questions and comments. Tune in next week for another episode. And in the future, I'm sure Seth will be back for something. I'll think of a reason.
I'll be back. No doubt. Yeah.
All righty, folks. Have a great evening. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Presented by the Small Town Monsters Broadcasting Network. You can find out more about this and other network shows, as well as Small Town Monsters films, books, and Monster Fest 2 at smalltownmonsters.com.